He's been praying yesterday. This one verse come to our mind. If you would want to, you can turn to St. John, the first chapter. And it's the last part of the 29th verse. We'll read it all, though. It says, "And the next day John seeing Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, I was out praying yesterday, and I was thinking about our country and this world. And you can see that there are so many places in this world that is full of hatred and turmoil and sin. We can think we don't have to go outside our boundaries, but you can see it even in our own country. And I thought, what a statement that John made when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And notice it didn't say sins, but it said sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here once again. Dear Lord, I just pray, God, that You might, Lord, open up the hearts of these people, dear Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, that we might truly understand what it is to behold the Lamb of God, dear God. What it is, dear Lord, to have our sin taken away, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, dear Jesus, that You might, Lord, just lead us and guide us, dear Lord, in this life down the pathway of righteousness for Thy glory, Lord, and not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, you can turn over to Deuteronomy. And we're going to read in the 6th chapter, the 24th and the 25th verse. It says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded us." If you would want to, you could read the other 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we find out that the Lord is pretty much in the chapter before that. It's the 10 commandments and other commandments as well. But I like how the Lord said that He gave us all of these statutes and that we're to fear the Lord for our good always. And that if we could then accomplish them, that it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all of these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. But John, so long ago, but not near as long ago as these words in Deuteronomy was wrote, told the people there along the banks of Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God, that one which cometh to take away the sin of the world." And I thought about what it was to behold a Lamb of God. You know, you take the word "behold" as it's used so many times in the Bible. I wish today that we could truly behold the Lamb of God for who He is, for what He's done, for what He did. I'm thankful of what He did so long ago at Calvary, that He died for our sin. I know that there's some people in life that would want to put or want to measure sins, and but the Bible said that He did not come. If you would want to read it again, it does not say, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world," but it says sin singular. If you're one so foolish as to count sins, and I think, well, He's took this sin and that sin, and that He come and He died for the sins of the world. We need to understand, if we behold the Lamb of God for who He is and His perfection, that there's not one sin singular that me or you could get by with. Jesus Christ come and He declared to the world that He was that perfect Lamb of God, that He was pure in all sins, but that He come that we might behold who He was. I want to tell you, He didn't change the nature of Himself when He come to earth, but He had always been perfect. He'd always been holy. But He was desirous that His creation, that behold Him for who He is, and not only that we might see with our eyes, and those there along
as one that could, if it were possible, to live perfect under the Mosaical law, as God said, then by your righteousness, we might have communion. But I'm thankful that it was seen by man that God was perfect, and that there was no way, but yet God still, yeah, gave them the command, not that they should do it, so God could stick out his chest and say, I've got a people that are doing these things simply because I'm God. But he gave his commandments so that it was for our good. Thou shalt not, to the Bible, is God just trying to communicate to us, don't hurt yourself, don't transgress, as the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And yeah, even yesterday, if we would behold the Lamb of God, the one that took and bore my shame at Calvary, the one that died, the man not guilty of one transgression, but yeah, a Lamb that bore my your shame, a Lamb that was perfect in all that he did, but yeah, he come to take the sin of his other world and place it upon himself at Calvary, so that we might stand and be justified in his righteousness. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? That it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we can claim to today, that we can behold the Lamb of God and rejoice that he came, that he lived a perfect life, and then cried out to us and said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you looking for rest today? Oh, you can rest in an almighty God. You can place your assurance in the fact that Jesus Christ was that perfect sacrifice, and he was that perfect Son of the Lamb of God, and in his perfection we can walk, and in his righteousness. Now, aren't you glad that he imputed his righteousness for you and me, that when we stand before God, that he'll look and he'll see his righteousness, not only on us, but I'm thankful that he'll see it in us. A God that was perfect, without spot or blemish, and we have done, we can, our whole claim to that sacrifice that was made at Calvary. But listen, if you would behold and see the Lamb of God for who he is, he's not only one that came to impart his righteousness, or to impute rather his righteousness. But I'm thankful that he placed his righteousness not only on me, but in me. The Bible says that he would go away, as he did, but he would send his comforter, which is that Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that when the blood was applied, I believe it was David that expounded upon the anointing oil of God, but even that which fell down on Aaron's beard. I'm glad when I gave my heart to the Lord, and he placed his hand upon my head, but that what he gave me, it went more than just on me, but it went in me. Woo! Glory to God. Not a doubt might be perfect, because I'm not, but I serve a perfect God. God, His will might be perfected. Do you have a hungry? I'm afraid. Oh, we live in a day to day where of many a servant stop short and says there's not a one of us. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. But I want to tell you, you just behold the Lamb of God. He did it. Still does take away the sin of the world. I can say that today. Oh, in their own self, it's having to suffer because of the sin of the world, because of hatred of God's people. But we can rejoice in knowing that God's will be perfected and His children. And then there one day, the world's running around trying to witness to somebody, and they'll tell you that they don't do this sin and that sin and this sin, and I guess that'd be alright. And the Bible says, and behold the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of child molester, and then maybe I can stick out my chest and say, but John declared on that day, and I declare to you today, that he came to take all sin, singular, not one transgression will get by. If you're counting on your own righteousness, you're going to be lonely and stand all alone before God. But I want to tell you, come that glorious day, how I was standing there on my behalf, and His name is Jesus, and I'll be able to behold the Lamb of God for myself. But don't you want the experience what you can have with the Lamb of God? They never raised no sheep. But you know what? I've been around enough cattle where you see that newborn baby calf, and all it has for protection is its mama. We bred the horns off of them. They can't fight near as good as they once could. But listen, that little baby calf, he's got a protective mother. That's a 1,200-pound calf, and she'll chase off anything that would come to harm that calf. And she'll tread him in the ground. And she'll run through him. That he was not as a calf led to the slaughter, but he was as a lamb that its own parent. Now think about a lamb now when it's born. Its mama into the ewe is about as defenseless as a month-old calf. It cannot defend that yoke. But I've got a Lamb of God that the Bible tells me, I believe it's in Revelation, that He is the Lion of Judah. Though He came as a lamb, I have one that roars like a lion. And He'll come, Michelle, and He'll fight me in your battles. Amen. But Christian, you know all about it. He can change the minds of the wicked. They would just behold the Lamb of God. They know there's no use being in those saw and kicking against the fresh. All they'll do is go away defeated. With sore shins and bleeding toes. Now listen, if we would not hold Him for who He is, our toes and our shins would be sore. But I'm afraid maybe our knees would be bent. Why? Because of the one that's taken away the sin of the world. As the Bible says, His one that's coming, there's coming a day that He shall judge and divide the goats from the sheep. When that day comes, I want to be with the Lamb of God. I want to be as one of His sheep, even if it means this very hour to be led to the slaughter. Unfortunately, so many people today, I think they serve God because they want to be on the winning side. Oh, you know, I guess that's a good reason. But do you really? Have you beholded Him as the Lamb of God and for who He is? We live in a culture today that you can go out and though some places you can say that I'm a Christian and people at best usually are indifferent about it. That there's people, I've seen it on the internet this week where 35 churches, I believe it was, was burned there in Nigeria. Our hearts go out to them. But I believe, as I've seen pictures of those people that were gathered within the walls, for that was all that was left of their church, was the walls standing, and they were having service. Don't you imagine that they beheld the Lamb of God, and they see that He fights their battle, and that the victory's His. From the body is to be present with Christ. So why then are we so concerned about the body? Because it's just human nature. Well, listen, the Bible tells about the one that would come and He would take away the nature of man. And though Daryl is in the world, Daryl don't have to be of the world. Though that Daryl in times past, when troubles would come, I think about how's Daryl going to get out of it? What's Daryl going to do to rise above it? But today, I can have a peace and know I'm at the battle. Amen, church. But the battle is Christ Jesus, my Lamb and my God, one that will deliver us in the midst of trouble. You remember when the devil came to Jesus and he came to Him, I reckon in His most weakest moment. Do you realize that a lot of times we're the weakest spiritually when we're weak physically? And the devil came to Jesus after He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And what did the Lord answer Him? He answered Him, what can be found in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy? I'm afraid today there's a lot of Christians that are speechless when the devil comes, because they don't know enough of God's Word. And the last thing they do is quote from the Old Testament. After all, they're under a new covenant. But if God can do it, but more importantly, if it works, why wouldn't we use those things that the Lord has provided? And it says in the 8th chapter, in the 3rd verse, we're going to break in. We'll go ahead. We'll read the 2nd verse as well. And it says, thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know.
know, that he might make thee know, that a man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. My raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and wait, walk in his ways, and to fear him. And he done it all for our good, as we already read. And that these commandments are for our good always. I'm thankful that our chastisement is for my good always. Aren't you glad? Sometimes all the world would say that God was out of control. There's people, no lie, no doubt, in the Muslim world, and I'd say of God, the God my Jesus, if he was the true God, if he was the true God, oh, why then could they go and burn these churches with impunity? Because God is revealing, he's refining, he's wanting the church, the true church, to come forth. He's wanting to show them in the middle of turmoil, I still am sufficient. I can think about it. I took a stand in the Bible, and because of it, there were people that hated me, and their hatred was so severe that they even pulled a gun on me when I was in their home. And I begin to wonder, God, there was a part of me that said, God, why did this happen? I was standing on your word, but he was in control. And though I didn't fear for my life, I knew that his hand was protection was upon me. But I'm thankful that God did not only reveal what was in me, but I know he revealed to that one, just as I believe it was Benjamin Randall, I was preaching along the river, and because of the message that he preached, this was in the United States now, back in the 1700s, a man picked up a rock and threw it, and it just missed his head. Well, I've been preaching before, and the looks on people's face, I could tell that they hated me, but I've never had a dodge a rock for my Lord. But if the time would come, he has a purpose, and it's for the protection of my family. Glory to God. I rejoice in the fact that God is hated by the devil, and he hates his children, but God is still in control. I'm fully persuaded that the men of God and the women of God are truly invincible until God says, I'm done with you. So if tomorrow I should perish, I want you to raise your hands and rejoice that my trial, my journey is over. And God was done with me. The devil never got an upper hand on no born again Christian walking in the will of God. And we can rejoice today. I can look and I can say, behold the Lamb of God who shed his blood on Calvary, that washed me clean inside and out, that gave me a reason to live. And yes, the courage to die. Wow, glory to God. I'm so glad that I've got a Savior above other names. Listen to me now. You can take the Buddhist. You can take the Islamic, the radical. You can take the American Indian. And if they believe in what they say they believe, and hard times come, and they begin to pray, we've got a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and He's above all other names. Not that He's above all other gods, but that He is the one and only, the risen Savior. I'm sitting here today and preach to you because He lives, and He is the Lamb of God. And He took away my sin, and He can take away yours. Oh my, people could only realize, oh, there are those that would declare, and they're looking forward to a promise. I know those that come to a mental, I guess you would say, persuasion. They've come that they have been able to logically, or irrelogically, I don't know, but they've been able to convince themselves up in their mind that God is the true and the living God, that the creator of this universe sent His only begotten Son, and that He imputed His righteousness so that me and you would be exempt from the sin in our life. But if they would truly behold the Lamb of God, they'd not have to long and wish for that day in which we might be perfected. Though I too look for that day. But listen, I look toward that day, but not as a man sitting on the side of the road, but that the Lord, when He come by my way, and I had a burden that I couldn't carry, He said, "Darrell, won't you behold the Lamb of God? I'll be your burden bearer." And He began not to lift that load just off of my chest, off of my shoulders, but He didn't stop there. But I felt His hands underneath my arms, and He lifted me up, and He said, as He said to those in the Bible, "Pick up your cross and follow me." He's never told that to a crippled yet. He first healed them, glory to God, and then He told them to follow Him. Listen, if you heard about Jesus and you were sitting along the road and you think to yourself, you look forward to the day when He'll come back for you at your death, I want to tell you, He lived never and left no man beside the road, but that He'll quicken you, and that you too might follow Him, and in following Him be able to walk in His righteousness, and not in perfection, but striving for the perfection that is wrought in every Christian called by His name. No, and there's none of us perfect. But I'll not stop there. The children of God desire a relationship with the Lamb of God. It is for our good. So many people, we live in a culture today that they look at the Ten Commandments as the Ten Suggestions, that they think to be told anything is to somehow diminish their right as an individual. And listen, but God has given a man a me, and He's given you a choice. There's people that believe because God has given a man a choice that God is not in control. No, but God is in control. There is the sovereign will of God, and He'll bring it to pass. But within that sovereign will of God, He has given each and every one of us a choice to make. A
choice that Darryl could not make on his own. A choice Darryl knew from his childhood of what Darryl needed to do. And as I got older, I got more wicked. And I got more vile. And I realized that through all of these things that Darryl needed the Lamb of God because of the sin. Oh, I thought of many sins and I knew that the Lord would take away the sins in my life. For He took away the sin of the world. He took away the bondage of sin, did He not? That He made a way in which we might be able to escape of the baser nature of our race. And yes, though we are not immortal, and though we are not perfect, we have one living in us, and that is, and when we fall and when we stumble, we need to cry out to the Father. We need to cry out to the Lamb. And if we'll behold Him for who He is, He will deliver us from our temptations. The Bible says that God tempteth no one, but that we are tempted when we are drawn away by our own lust. And though Darryl has been born again, there's lust in Darryl's heart. My lust, what those things that I have lusted for might not be what you might war with. But Darryl lusts because Darryl's been drawn away. God was not just speaking to the lost man, but He was speaking to all men. Have you drawn away from the lust of your heart? Well, there is a Lamb, and He died for the sin in your life. And you just need to call out to Him. Don't be satisfied in the fact that Jesus Christ came and He died. So no longer need I worry. But let us not be satisfied until we see Him for ourselves. And might we strive to be as the Father would have us. Because it is through chastisement. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament, if we don't accept the chastisement of the Lord, that we're bastards and not sons. Someone said to me, can you be unborn? The Bible clearly speaks about it. Through the Old Testament as well as the New. That what is a bastard? A bastard is a son without an inheritance. You know, there's people running around as if their judgment is all that matters. There are those that would declare, well, yeah, but if you've been saved, you can't lose it. And you know, I really think that when we begin to argue hypotheticals, that what happens is we deceive people every time, regardless of what arguments you might make. There's a many a congregation sit full of hypocritical church-going people that's never accepted the Lord as their Lord and Master, and they hear that and they say, see, I'm all right. Because they've determined in their heart and in their mind that they're born again. But you know what? It's really not up to them. Because see, they've not trusted Him. Jesus Christ is their Lord and Master. You know, you tell a lie long enough, people start believing it. I'm sure if you polled the United States and asked them, does it say in the Constitution that there is separation between church and state? You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd say the majority of people say yes. Well, it's not in the Constitution. It's in a paper that I believe Jefferson wrote. But people, because they went so long and said it's unconstitutional, there's separation between church and state. People believed it. Well, unfortunately today, we live in a culture where if you attend church for a certain period of time, people will just naturally assume and that you're a Christian. And because they assume and because they've not asked, maybe you yourself will assume that through osmosis you become a Christian. But because you sit in the middle of many a spiritual service, well, you know, I was saved when I was 12 years old, and my children, one of my boys was in church the day he come home from the hospital. But you know what? That won't save you. But you got to accept and behold the Lamb of God for yourself, that He will take away the sin in your world. You know, each and every one of us is going to be plagued and troubled by the sin of this world until glory. But aren't you glad that God took away the condemnation? He took away the death sentence that me and you had. And He took away the bondage of sin. And the devil would love for you to know or to think each and every time you fail that it's understandable you're not perfect. But God would have us when we fall. What did He tell the church, the early church? He said, confess your faults one to another. Confess. If I need to confess them to my brothers and sisters, why would that be? So that they might pray for me. But if they're not sin, if it does not matter, why is a confession need to be made? I need not to confess if the sheriff brought me in tonight and accused me that during this service someone was killed in Lebanon, that somebody was breaking into my house in Lebanon, and that I shot him, and that they want a full confession. Maybe that sheriff will even tell me, look, he was breaking into your house. He was armed. He was considered a felon. A man extremely dangerous. All you need to do is confess so that we can put this case away. If I was in church, if I was not responsible, why would I need to confess? But we must confess those things that we are responsible for. And that our brothers and sisters in Christ might pray for us and that we might overcome the tempter and that fleshly lust within our heart. That we might work toward perfection in the Lord. And I know this isn't a popular message this day, but it's never the same. Or nevertheless, it's God's Word. Let's get some song to sing. God sent the children of Israel through Egypt and that they would have all those hardships. What's the Bible say? That they might be humbled. That they would see that they were in need of a Savior. So many people, because of their theological thinking, when they fall, they're not humble. When they fall, they see not the need to cry out. Why? Because this is to be expected. After all, none of us are perfect. Well then, if none of us are perfect, do we not all need the Lord working His perfection in us? You know, we preached, I think it was last Sunday, about the banner. So many people I want to make it an issue of, are you saved yet? You know, that when we fall, am I still saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? But we need to determine in our heart is whose side are we on? When we fall, are we going to get up? So many people want to determine when they're laying after falling and laying on the ground where they're at. If you're a child of the King, if you behold the Lamb of God for who He is, you're going to get up. Because He's your Lord and Savior. And you're not going to run except to the Lord. Have you ever been given a task and because of it, because of your inability to do it, you ever remember your parents telling you to do something? Maybe you weren't the one. I didn't have to worry about getting my lunch money stole at school because of some bully. I didn't have lunch money. And very few bullies wanted to eat another jelly peanut butter sandwich. I didn't have to worry about them taking my lunch either. But have you ever been given something and somebody bigger than you, as a kid, took it away from you? What did you do? Well, if you was a little child, you ran to your father. You ran to the one that gave you that job or gave you that piece of item that you cherished. Well, that's what we need to do today. But when we stumble and we fall, we need to run to the Father. Instead of shrug our shoulders and say, it don't matter. This really doesn't matter. Well, no, if the Lord has given us something to do, we need to do it. And sometimes that means going back to Him time and time again. Until His will is perfected in us.